Welcome to Crazy Little Thing Called Marriage. I'm Greg.
And I'm Erin. We've been married for 31 years, almost 32. We're marriage counselors and we lead the marriage team here at Focus on the Family. Today, we're super excited because we're going to be talking about enjoying and cherishing your marriage. So often we talk about how marriage is hard and it's challenging, but we can also spend a lot of time talking about how good marriage can be.
Yeah, because actually really thinking about why your marriage is so valuable, it's such an important part of commitment. And so the experts who've really studied commitment, certainly we need to make a decision that divorce isn't an option and this is for a lifetime. You know, this is a lifetime relationship, but there's also an important emotional component of marriage, which means that when I think about our relationship, you know, I think about the good, the things that I value, some of my favorite things. Like for me, as I think about our relationship, Erin, one of my favorite things is that just that we're in it together. Like as things go wrong, like you're there. I get to go through those hard times with you. Mm-hmm. I remember one time we were in California. We're living in this little apartment, a little townhome, whatever it was. I was in getting my doctorate at Biola University, and we had our oldest daughter, Taylor. She was probably, about 6 months at the time. But I just remember we're dead asleep upstairs, and all of a sudden the stereo goes off downstairs, and it was so loud. It's just blaring, and it was terrifying because it was so loud, and I'm trying to process why is the stereo on? Who turned that on? Certainly someone is in our place.
I have no recollection of this whatsoever.
I mean, I was so scared because, you know, I'm thinking the stereos just don't go on by themselves and someone had to turn that on. Maybe they're trying to steal something and trying to cover up what they're doing by the noise of the stereo. So all this is going through my mind. You know, you're going, what is happening? Go see. And so I remember in my mind thinking, yeah, maybe it's the guy, the protector, I'm supposed to go down there. But I turned to you and said, can you come with me? And so I just remember you jumped out of bed. We kind of held hands and we walked down the stairs, crept down, not sure what we were going to find, but together. And I just, there was something about that. Because again, that was early in our marriage. But there was just something so cool about, man, there was a scary situation. And instead of Erin going, no, I'm staying in bed with the covers over my head.
Well, I'm glad that's not what I did since I don't remember.
No, you were right there with me and we kind of crept down together. I mean, maybe you were hiding a little bit behind me, but you were still there. And it gave me the confidence and the strength. Mm-hmm. And, you know, now 31 years later, like when you are gone on a trip or if you're just not there and I'm sleeping alone in our bedroom, I just hate that. I hate being alone in our bed. And I'll shut our door and lock it.
Well, the worst is when our dog starts barking out of control at like 2:30 in the morning.
Yeah. But it's just there's something about that comfort. Mm-hmm. Even if it doesn't make logical sense, I don't know what you and I would have done if we'd encountered some, you know, intruder or whatever. But just the fact that you were with me just gave me a confidence and a strength that like we're in this together. And that's one of my most favorite things about our marriage. And that's really what we're going to focus in on for this episode. We've got some great segments coming up. You know, later on, we're going to talk through some of our conversation starters. And we always love this part of the show because we just really believe in continuing to stay update and current and rediscover each other. And so we're going to run through some of those. We never see them before, so they're a surprise to us.
It's fun.
We're also going to hear a question from one of our listeners who wants to know, how do I talk to my wife about her emotional affair?
Well, hold on. I never heard, why did the stereo go off? Since I don't remember it, did the stereo go off?
You need closure.
Yes.
Yeah, that's fair. You know, here's what happened. So Taylor was a little toddler at the time, and she was playing around pressing buttons, and somehow she activated a timer.
Oh.
And she set it to go off in the middle of the night accidentally.
Whoops.
And I didn't even know that we had a feature like that. So that's why I didn't know that's what it was. But, you know, after that all happened, kind of looking at the stereo, I was like, oh, here's what happened. It got, something got
set. So no one was in the house.
No one was in the house, thank the Lord. But together, we could have taken them.
Okay, good, good, good. So let's transition to the conversation we had with our friend Gary Thomas about how he learned to thrive in his marriage. He's an author, speaker, and he has some amazing insights. So let's listen to the conversation we had with Gary.
Well, Gary, you talked about the challenges that you guys, you and Lisa, had early on in your marriage. So what changed?
I think there were three things that transformed the way I looked at marriage. One, accepting that this is where we're going to be for the rest of our lives. We're not going to get a divorce and we're miserable. So the question is, are we going to stay miserable or not? And I think making that decision, okay, I've been confronted by my friends in the perfect way. They were God's ambassadors to me. I can't go down this road. Okay, so this is what's going to happen. And so what does that mean? Second, getting rid of those expectations. Why do I think marriage is supposed to be easy?
Yeah.
Why do I think I'm supposed to have the perfect answer, Lisa's supposed to be the perfect wife? And I realized, no, it wasn't. And so it was getting a more realistic view of marriage. And then for me, and I've talked about this here before on other podcasts, but just being challenged in prayer one time that God looked at my wife as his daughter and that God wasn't just my heavenly father in that sense. He was my heavenly father-in-law, and the best way I could worship him and honor him was to take care of his little girl. And to this day, I look at marriage so differently. Instead of when I was young and selfish, am I getting what I want out of marriage? Many times I'll put my head on the pillow and say, Lord, have I loved you and honored you and pleased you by the way I've loved your daughter today.
I love that.
That's the conversation that I want to drive my marriage. And Jesus said, and I don't know why this works, because to my natural mind, it doesn't make any sense. It's better to give than to receive. But when you're giving out of worship for God, it is just true. It's just, I can't explain it. I know if people haven't walked with the Lord, they say that just doesn't make sense. Every word Jesus spoke is true. That one is as true as any other word. And when we turn our eyes from ourselves to how can I receive God's love and give that love to others, that's the best life. That's the life we were created to live.
And even in marriage.
Especially in marriage.
And I love what you're saying, because for us, so much the same as far as just recognizing marriage isn't easy. And because our marriage isn't easy doesn't mean there's something wrong. But then deciding, do we want to stay like this? We ended up having our first daughter. She was 1 month old on our second anniversary. And just recognizing that we wanted something different for her and we wanted something different for us, and getting help. And then as we got help, growing and changing and being morphed into more into the image of God.
I think we've been married, well, I don't think, we've been married over 30 years. And I think now as a 30-year married man, I really have this, I can clearly remember and see this image of Erin standing with me at that altar and her offering her hand and us joining hands, in the courage that that took to take that leap. Just the fact that she was willing to go on this amazing journey with me for the rest of her life. Like, I get that now. Like, that, I could have said that intellectually way back when, but to me, that the weight of that willingness to take that first step with me, and the courage that that took, that so matters to me now, that I really want to honor that and honor her in doing that. And I probably wouldn't have gotten that same view way back when, but I certainly understand that now. And that's a part of how I want to honor her, is just going, man, that young 24-year-old who took my hand and offered me that ring and received the ring that I gave, and we started this journey, that was a big deal. And I want to honor that choice in doing so, honoring God. But I love the courage that these couples take. I get that now.
And I think the hope for couples that are in a difficult stage is, I think sacred marriage became the foundation out of which my book Cherish grew a decade and a half later. that just because it's difficult now doesn't mean it will always be difficult. I can't tell how many couples have been through it. And so cherish is up ahead, where you don't just tolerate your spouse. You're not just gritting your teeth, but you're cherishing each other. You're delighting in each other.
Yeah.
That can happen in the same marriage. A lot of times it's not that you need a new spouse. You need a new attitude.
Mm-hmm.
You need to adjust the expectations, learn some truths, bring worship in, and you can have a cherishing marriage.
Yeah. So bring that into practicality for today. So you and Lisa are into empty nesting, into a new season of marriage. How do you keep your marriage strong today?
It's a lot easier now because we can just do more together.
Mm-hmm.
Lisa laughed recently because we went to a movie recently, which hardly could ever do when the kids were young. And Lisa reminded me why. Because we added up what it costs to go to a movie and to pay a babysitter.
Mm-hmm.
And what we just paid for the popcorn and the drink and whatnot was more than we would have budgeted for the whole date back when our kids were young. And we just laughed about it. And so, like, just about every night we're going on walks together. And then I've just learned to be a lot less selfish. Lisa will brag to people about her magic gas tank that she doesn't have to fill, or the magic toilet paper that just appears on the roll. And couples often have these passive-aggressive fights about it. And I just wake up, how do I make my wife's life a little better today?
Mm-hmm.
And she's doing the same. You know, when you move to a new place, you're having to get insurance or license. And we're just dividing it up, and it's a team. She's doing this. I'm doing that. I'm getting this taken care of. She's getting that taken care of. And it's just a point to where it's hard to imagine life apart from it.
Yeah.
We've grown together.
Mm-hmm.
We're one, not just in word. It's just like I just don't know how life would work. I can't imagine life apart from her.
I so appreciate Gary. Honestly, you know, he is one of my very, very favorite marriage people mm-hmm. to listen to. He's just love his wisdom.
Yes, and he has such a sweet, soothing voice and just such tender wisdom and insights.
Well, and I liked how he said that marriage is hard, but that doesn't mean that it isn't good.
Right.
And just because it's difficult now doesn't mean it'll be always difficult. And you need to have a new attitude, not a new marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And that really struck me. So I thought, well, let's kind of piggyback on that mm-hmm. idea of a new attitude, you know, not a new marriage.
Mm-hmm.
So as you think about kind of maintaining this positive outlook on marriage during challenging times, because we've gone through that,
mm-hmm.
we've had very hard times. Kind of what's, Aaron, helped you to maintain that positive outlook?
Yeah, it's important to shift your perspective. I remember in that interview, I think it was this interview where he talked about having a monk marriage, to where a monk doesn't have a whole lot of expectations of anyone but God. And therefore, you're not looking to your spouse for your expectations to be met. So when we shift our perspective and we normalize that, you know, marriage can be hard, but instead of viewing the difficulties as failures, viewing them as opportunities.
Yeah.
And God can fulfill me in those seasons when you're not available.
And you're right. And, you know, what you're saying, really, that's James 1:2. As we go through hard times, mm-hmm. consider that to be an opportunity. And I think for me that it's really easy to get so negative and have sort of this negative outlook when we're going through hard times. And what often helps me is just to force myself to think about what are some things that I'm grateful for.
Mm.
It's not meant as a Pollyannish, ignore the bad, you
right.
know, have happy thoughts. It's not saying that there's some real challenges that we're going through and maybe there's some issues that we need to address. But I don't want to get overwhelmed
mm-hmm.
by the negativity. And that's mm-hmm. why going, okay, so what is God doing here? What are some mm-hmm. things he promises that, you know, when we go through hard times, that there's benefit there. So what are those? Because
mm-hmm.
that's what I want to be grateful for. What are we learning? How is our marriage growing? How am I growing as an individual?
Yeah. Well, it's always so good to recognize that God is there amidst the challenges and that he promises us they won't be wasted. I was thinking about, actually, back to shifting your perspective. I was thinking about, and you went through this program as well. We went to this it's kind of an individual retreat, and there was an exercise. I don't know if you got to do this one, but I remember we told the same story from like six different perspectives.
Yeah.
And, you know, one that I'm angry from that perspective. One, I'm being shy and timid. The other one was tell it from the Pollyanna.
Minimizing it.
Yeah, the Pollyanna perspective, or minimizing or aggressive. And it was so interesting. I was just thinking about that this morning, actually. Just when we shift our perspective, how powerful it is. Mm. And that's true in our marriage as well. And there are different angles to see a situation from. And I think it's so key when we see it as an opportunity, these difficult seasons, that we see them as an opportunity for growth, but also for God's blessing.
Yeah. Yeah. And honestly, that could be a great thing to do as a couple in the midst of a tough season that you're having. Maybe you go for a walk, grab some coffee and go to a little coffee place, whatever. Just somewhere that
a coffee shop?
Yeah. What did I say?
A coffee place.
Yeah, because I love coffee, yes, so I'm always at those places for the good coffee. But maybe somewhere that you guys would feel safe. Mm-hmm. But talk about here's the situation we're going through. Uh-huh. Maybe allow both of them to tell it from different perspectives. Uh-huh. From the I'm super mad, and here's how I tell it from the mad perspective. Here's how I tell it from the, you know, Pollyannish and everything's perfect.
Yes.
And then maybe from, you know, the blessing or mm-hmm. the gratitude perspective, and just allow each other to do that. It's not meant to erase the real problems that you've got to mm-hmm. face through that. But you're right, it can give us just a different way to look at some of those situations that we face, or maybe a hard season that you're going through.
For sure.
Well, if you want to go deeper on how you can find joy and goodness in your marriage, man, we really encourage you. Get Gary's book. It's called Cherish, the one word that changes everything in your marriage. And we have that here at Focus on the Family for a gift of any amount.
Yes, all the details will be in the show notes. Now we're going to do the part of our show where we do conversation starters. And, you know, as we're constantly changing as individuals, conversation starter questions are just such a fun way to really stay current and understand more about our spouse and ourselves. So just fun. We love this portion of our show, and we love asking these conversation starters. And granted, remember, we don't see these beforehand. So we just kind of go back and forth, not knowing what we're going to ask the other person or what we're going to be asked.
So our producer, Katie, gave us the blue bucket. So yes, it's got some in there. So Aaron, you're up. Why don't you grab one out?
All right. So, Greg, what struggle in our marriage do you think made us stronger?
Man, how long is this show? How many hours? Yeah, there's been so many struggles, and we're honest, and we talk about them. We've got a list. Mm-hmm. I write our stories down, or mm-hmm. interesting things that happen. I've got like a list of 600 on my computer. Mm-hmm. Let me think. I would say that probably the one that really stands out probably most to me is we tell this story about when I dropped laundry, you know, from our fourth floor apartment in a bag,
a huge mesh bag.
Yeah, because I was getting the laundry and I saw you. We just had a fight. Mm-hmm. And so I meant to kind of be funny and playful. Mm-hmm. I dropped the laundry from the fourth floor, you know, balcony to the first floor where you were walking. I just meant to land it next to you. Mm-hmm. And it hit you, mm-hmm. and it knocked you over.
It did.
And I think what it was about that conflict that really stands out is that it's just one of those weird, bizarre, you know, stories. Like, did I really do that? Like, people, yes. I get it all the time. I have people at our marriage events will come and say, are you going to tell the laundry story? Yeah. Like, I think people like hearing that because, especially guys, because it makes them go, well, hey, I mean, honey, at least I didn't drop laundry on your head like that guy. But I think it encapsulates.
But you know what's really awesome?
What?
Is being the one that the laundry hit.
I bet. You do kind of
so
walk
tell me,
with a limp
because the
still.
Question was, how did we grow through these things?
Yes.
What made us stronger?
So I think that was one of those conflicts that as I look back, that just it was so crazy and so nutty. Mm-hmm. And it really began to shape for me that, you know what, there's some stuff I got to deal with. There's ways in which we manage conflict. This is not working. Mm-hmm. And I don't think you were pregnant at the time, but shortly thereafter, mm-hmm. you know, we had our first daughter. And so it just, I think that one served as a wake-up call. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a few in that mm-hmm. time frame that are funny mm-hmm. that we laugh and tell, but I think it just shows that, you know, God showed up in amazing ways, and it wasn't our power. It was really turning to Him, seeking Him, mm-hmm. growing, learning that we began to, you know, take growth, you know, in our marriage. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah. So I just remember that one as kind of that time frame that we mm-hmm. really had to get going around growing up mm-hmm. and learning to deal with conflict in a healthy way. Mm-hmm. Still would argue it was an accident, by the way, that whatever. I didn't mean to hit you with the laundry. All right. So here's yours. Mm-hmm. In what ways do you feel blessed in our marriage? I mean, obviously, besides, you know, the laundry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would say I feel blessed. And I think I've talked about this before, maybe even during conversation starters. I feel blessed that you, as my spouse, allow me to be me. And it's, I think I have said several times when we've been out recently, I'm just so grateful. Like, you give me grace that when I am really, really slammed at work and at school, that you don't ride me about the piles of clothes in our bathroom or the mess or the disorganization or the pile of books on the counter. And you just let me be me, because you know I'll get to it, that I'll clean it up eventually, but you don't add the, when I'm already stressed out, you don't add the extra pressure. And so how that all sums up, I would say that you let me be me. And I know that there are people listening that are going, well, there's things that my spouse does that are so out of balance and they impact me so negatively. Well, I say, speak up and say something. You know, it's how you say it, not saying it in the middle of you being super frustrated. But I just feel like you allow me to go through those crazy seasons, because for some reason I have the propensity to attract chaos and fast pace, which often means some of the details get missed and you just let me be me.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Yes.
That is an honor.
That is a blessing.
And part of what I enjoy about our marriage as well.
Good. So the next one for you, Greg. What is your favorite thing that we do together, and what do you wish we could do more of?
I would say my favorite thing is when we travel to teach mm-hmm. our marriage event.
Yeah.
You know, there's something fun about, you know, flying to a different place mm-hmm. maybe we haven't been to before, kind of figuring out where are we, and we mm-hmm. do that together. Being at a hotel, mm-hmm. you know, away from our home, yes. going out for a fun dinner at some place, you know, that we've never been before.
Well, and it used to be with no children. Now we travel often with our 16-year-old.
Yeah. which is still fun. But mm-hmm. being up on the stage with you, I mean, I oftentimes, as we're speaking and it's your turn, you're saying something, I'll just stand there, just looking at you as you're talking, just going, this is so cool that mm-hmm. here we are. That's my wife. Look at all the amazing things she's saying, or we get to do this together. And so it's fun to do ministry together mm-hmm. and to do that by going on an adventure, going somewhere different.
Yeah.
And I love that.
So what do you wish we did more of?
Yeah, probably for me, I'm a introvert. I'm a homebody. Like, it just, you know, once I figured out that some of those big, you know, grocery store chains and retailers deliver, you know, you can get on that plan.
So you're saying you wish we did more grocery shopping together?
No, I was going to say, because I pretty much never would have to leave the home.
Yes.
That I actually wish we did more out. And I'm just, it's hard to motivate me to ever leave our house, just because, you know, we work and we travel, and so I love being at home.
Well, now you love the chair in the corner.
I know.
You fight me for it.
I know. But looking for things, fun mm-hmm. things, adventure things yeah. around where we live in Colorado Springs.
We do some.
Yeah, we
so
do.
So you're saying you wish we
yeah.
did more.
Yeah. Because yeah. it's just easy for me to stay home.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, for you, what was the last thing I did that made you smile?
I smiled last night when I got home from work and I had asked you to make dinner and I said I was craving shrimp tacos. I sit down at the table and there's these big burritos sitting on the table. And I was like, oh, so we're having shrimp burritos, not shrimp tacos.
It was like a soft taco.
It was sweet. And it just made me smile and laugh.
Okay. I literally almost took the scissors and trimmed them down to like a soft rolled taco size.
Okay.
And then I thought, I don't know if I need to go that far.
You didn't, because I would have not had the laugh then.
I couldn't find any taco. Yeah, that's the only thing I could find to put the shrimp in. I did make the shrimp.
It was good.
Oh, good. Yeah. And you were worn out last night.
Yes, I was. That was.
It was funny because I had had a tough interaction with our daughter.
Uh-huh.
And it lasted a couple hours.
Oh, boy.
For us to really work through it, which we did. So I was pretty worn out. And I even told her, listen, mom's coming home. She wants tacos. I got to get all this together. So when you came in, it was one of those moments of going, okay, I've made dinner. I've had this tough interaction with our child that's still at home. And now I'm ready for you to hear me and I'm ready to be heard.
And all I had done all day long since 8:30 in the morning, it is now 7 o'clock at night, was listen to people talk. Yeah. And I was like,
yeah,
I don't know that I have any more listening in my body.
Well, it was funny because you didn't know that's what I was hoping for, but you just came right in and said, oh man, that was a long day. I'm just so glad that we could just sit and not talk. And so I went, yeah, that's good. So we actually played cards,
yes,
ate our taco burritos. Shrimp, and it was good. We,
yes,
we eventually caught up, but yeah, you're right. That was funny. Well, now we're going to move on to our weekly Q&A. And we love this part of our show because we get to answer your questions that you've sent in about marriage.
Please send us your questions. You can click the link in the show notes or go to crazylittlethingcalledmarriage.com and click the button on the side of our show page to leave us a voicemail. And if your question gets answered on the show, we're going to send you a copy of our book, Crazy Little Thing Called Marriage, 12 Secrets to a Lifelong Romance, for free, as our way of saying thank you for listening and reaching out to us.
Well, today's question comes from one of our listeners. So let's listen to a voice actor read the voicemail that he sent in.
My wife had an emotional affair last year, and since then, for about 6 months, she cut off communication with her unhealthy friend. Recently, they have restarted communication, and my wife feels justified and says that it is necessary and not unsafe for her because she has her standards. This is gut-wrenching for me and very difficult for me to process. So, what can I do? What should I do in a situation like this?
That is so challenging and difficult to have your spouse involved in a relationship that you're not necessarily feeling super safe with. So that is really, really tough. And so I appreciate you calling in and recognizing, I say this so many times throughout the day, that we can't control what our spouse does or does not do. We can make requests. And it sounds to me like you have made a request of, I want this relationship to stop, but she's unwilling at this point.
Yeah. And I think you're right. So Aaron, we can't control our spouse. So really paying attention to what's going on for you. I think as you spend some time really unpacking, okay, what are the exact emotions that I'm feeling right now? Because you want to get very specific. So is it betrayal, anger, hurt, confusion, insecurity, jealousy? You know, is it disappointment, helpless, hopeless? Like the more that you can really dial in to go, okay, what is going on for me right now? I'm feeling, because that's ultimately, one, which you're taking to the Lord. Between you and the Lord, you can really care about, boy, I am feeling, you know, this insecurity right now, or I'm feeling this jealousy, I'm feeling this sense of betrayal, and that matters to me, that matters to the Lord. And so caring for you is just a part of the process. Ultimately, it'd be great to be able to go to your wife with that, to say, hey, could we talk about this? Because here's kind of what's going on for me. around you reestablishing, reengaging in that conversation. I'm feeling, and again, you're not blaming. You're not saying, thus be responsible for me. Mm-hmm. You're saying, I'm feeling betrayed. I'm feeling jealous. I'm feeling insecure. I'm feeling whatever they are. Mm-hmm. And again, you can't make her care. You can't make her lean into that, have empathy around that. But at least that's the healthy thing to do is to go, okay, I'm feeling. And then you can always go, and for what it's worth, this just feels like a total loss for me. And you reengaging this relationship is certainly a loss for me. Would you be willing to figure out something that would feel good to both of us? Because right now, this it just feels like a loss, and our team is losing. Mm-hmm. Again, she may be uninterested in having any of those conversations, but that's the part that you control. You can show up in that healthy way.
Yes, and so you control how you approach her. You can control your voice as well as you can control the state of your heart. So the biggest challenge is keeping your heart open amidst this going on, which means more than likely you're going to need to set some boundaries because we set boundaries to keep our heart open to the other person, which means it may mean stepping back some and letting her know that this is a loss for me. You continuing in this relationship is a loss, and it is therefore our team is losing. And if this relationship continues, I'm going to need to take a step back. And whatever that looks like for you, I would do that under the guidance of a counselor. So if she's unwilling to go to counseling, then you go to counseling and get guidance on how do I set appropriate boundaries in this scenario, which, you know, it could be anywhere from I'm not willing to stay in the same room as long as this relationship is continuing, kind of an in-house separation. It could be that you're going to go down the pathway of a healing separation where both individuals are focusing on them and their individual healing. And, you know, it's just really praying that through, asking God what He wants you to do, as well as having the team mentality of who's going to support you as you walk this journey.
Yeah. And Erin, you wrote a fantastic article on a healing separation. So we'll be sure to put a link in our show notes for that article. If it's okay, I'd like to get on the soapbox for just a moment. And the reason why your story it just breaks my heart is because, I mean, I have such a firm conviction around this issue that there is not another human relationship on this earth where I would be willing to tell my wife, it doesn't matter, I'm going to choose this relationship over you. It doesn't matter how you feel about it. I also want this relationship. And Erin, I constantly let you know that, that I choose you above any other relationship. God is number one, you're number two. And I just, within a marriage, having these opposite sex friendships, it's such a minefield. And I'm not telling anyone that, oh, thus, you know, as a married person, you shouldn't have an opposite sex friendship. I'm saying it's a minefield and be very careful. But at the end of the day, that none of those relationships would ever come above you. And if you ever asked me to, you know, give up a relationship, you know, with an opposite sex friend, I would do that in a heartbeat because I choose you. And that's what hurts me within this is going, this has to matter.
Yes.
And I wish that she was showing up that way.
Yeah.
And so we hurt with you. We know this is really hard
for
and it breaks our heart for you.
Absolutely. And I would do the same. But the thing that we have done is we've had that conversation. What are the boundaries in our marriage with opposite sex relationships? And what I'm learning working with couples is often couples don't have that conversation or they believe that they don't need to have that conversation and that, you know, it's fine. I can have whatever friends I want and, you know, male, female, it doesn't matter. But in reality, it is a very slippery slope.
It is.
I always say, I don't know anyone that is setting out to have an emotional affair or a full-blown affair. Like that, I've met one person actually that was like, yeah, I'm going to have an affair. Okay. I don't think that's going to work well for your integrity, but it ends up often that someone's in a relationship and they start having feelings. They don't tell anyone. They don't do anything different. They keep following that pathway. And before they know it, they're having a full-blown affair.
Yeah.
And well, so it's important to have that conversation with your spouse. What do the boundaries in our marriage, specifically for us, look like around opposite sex friendships?
Yeah. And I without understanding her perspective, mm-hmm. without hearing her side of the story and understanding mm-hmm. kind of her perspective, mm-hmm. I'm cautious saying if there's been an emotional affair, there should never be a reengaging of mm-hmm. that relationship mm-hmm. ever. There, I can't think of one possible reason why
mm-hmm. well, especially
you would
when
need to reengage in that situation. Yeah. There's just not.
Especially why? When your spouse is saying, I don't feel good about this.
Right.
And this is a loss for me.
Yeah. So we just encourage you again, you can lean into what you have control over. Mm-hmm. That's your heart, your mm-hmm. emotions. Allow those to matter. You can mm-hmm. express those I statement. Here's how I'm feeling. Mm-hmm. Would you be willing to find something in this situation with this other person that both of us feel good about?
Yes.
And that's really what you can do. And that's how you can show up with integrity.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks for your question. And look out for your copy of Crazy Little Thing Called Marriage. And if you're listening today and have any questions for us, please contact us. Click the link in the show notes to leave us a voicemail. And remember, you can always remain anonymous. Thank you for joining us for Crazy Little Thing Called Marriage. We hope we were able to give you some practical tools to help you out as you find the joy and goodness in your marriage.
Be sure to like, listen, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. And be sure to share this episode with your friends. We want you to have a seat at the table every week as we help equip you and your spouse to have a lifelong and satisfying marriage. We want to see you growing spiritually, both as individuals and as a couple, because ultimately we love the thought of you investing in other couples to help them have thriving marriages.
Thanks again for listening. We'll talk with you again next week about this crazy little thing called marriage.
Is your marriage holding on by a thread? For deep hurt, you need deep healing that only comes from the Lord. And you'll find it at a Focus on the Family Hope Restored Intensive in Michigan. Our licensed Christian counselors will help you and your spouse get to the root of your issues in just 3 to 5 days. And it works. 80% of the couples are still married 2 years after attending. Learn more at HopeRestored.com and talk with a trusted advisor. That's HopeRestored.com.